It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. We are rolling along, recording this early on a Monday morning because we have a little different schedule this week. Brian's a little traveling, so we wanted to get this to you very, very early, which means earlier than usual, you guys will know who the third to last participant is in the Fantasy Feast redraft contest. I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, journeyman, played for five teams in 7 years. It's my year two, so I'm a young veteran in the fantasy game. He's at Evan Silva. His real name's Evan Silva. His Twitter handle's at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. He's essentially the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com. And I think for my money, I'd love to see, is there any rankings, Evan, anywhere of like the top fantasy dudes out there?
Not that I know of.
Somebody should do that. Somebody that's really into it should rank the fantasy gurus. You're easily top five. I've seen some of the guys that are on TV,
Ross.
And stuff.
Do you think I'm third or fourth?
I don't know, man. You're up there. I like my guy, the guru, John Hansen, too. But I read some of the other guys. I see them on TV. I mean, I'll just say this much. I'll take you over the guys on TV every day of the week, okay? I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to name names. I'm taking you over the guys on TV every day of the week. Anyway, we're rolling along here. Today, we're going to go into Evan's running back tiers, which I'm very, very excited about. Speaking of excited about, remember, there's still a couple spots left in the Fantasy Feast Redraft League. Here's the deal, though. There's a new qualification to get one of the spots over the next couple weeks. And that is not only spread the word on social media. I mentioned the Twitter handles. Brian's at RTF Podcast on Twitter. I'm Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL if you're a Facebook person. You also can sign up for the email list. If your name's not on the email list, sorry, but you're not getting in on the Fantasy Feast Redraft League. There's one more way, by the way, over the next couple weeks that you have to get in. You have to subscribe to the new podcast, which is starting, I think, August 11th? No, maybe August 13th. I can't remember the actual day. But starting August 11th, it is the College Draft Podcast with myself and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy. I don't know if it's available yet, but over the next couple of days, it'll be on iTunes and everywhere, and you guys can subscribe to it. Evan, we're going to break down the top college prospects in the biggest games each week. I'm so pumped about it. I know you love listening to stuff like that. Fran has the same sickness and disease you have. There's absolutely no question about it. So looking forward to that in a couple weeks. So make sure you subscribe to that. That'll be a prereq as well for the next Fantasy Feast redraft contestants over the next couple weeks. Before we get to this week's guy, Evan, are you there hasn't been any buzzes yet. What's going on? Have you taken the advice maybe of all the people that were tweeting us with things you could do?
Adam Levitan, who we had on a few shows back from RotoWorld, helped me figure out how to do it. It wasn't all the angry tweeters. And now we have the issue fixed. And to be honest, it's kind of a sad day. You know, we're going to have to bring back the buzzer.
There's a couple
future show.
There's a couple Twitter handles out there, I think. I mean, it really did kind of become part of the show. So, you know what's so funny? We were getting tweets from people that were complaining about your buzzing. I wonder if now we'll get a couple tweets from people that are complaining that, well, I missed the buzzing. That was hilarious. That kind of made the show. At any rate, I got to tell you guys about this week's this week's Fantasy Feast participant. Let's hit it, Bri.
You probably don't care since odds are you aren't in the league, but it's still league standings time.
So I got to tell you guys, I've been thoroughly impressed with all of you and everything you've done, checking all the boxes to try to get in the Fantasy Feast League. I say this every week, but I'm honestly, I almost feel bad and sad for some of you that have done so much but won't get in the league because there's only so many spots. But I got to tell you, this week it was a landslide. This guy named Scotty Enright, he literally went down, I think, the sponsors page at RossTucker.com and signed up for every single one of them and forwarded me the confirmation that he signed up for every single one of them. Then he did specific tweets about all of them on Twitter. I won't get into his email and all the reasons why he felt like he deserved to be in and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to even get into that. His email is he looked at my speaking page on my website and was like quoting back to me about goals and active steps. He said his goal was to get in the league, so he took the active steps. Like that, Evan, the guy literally stole my like talking points from my speeches that I give and then incorporated them into signing up for every sponsor. Anyway, I want to get into the running backs, but dudes, I mean, Scotty Enright, not even close. You won in a landslide. I've never seen a guy sign up for seven things like that in 30 minutes and forward them all to me. Congratulations. I'll send you an email about the details. Let's talk some running backs.
Big Eater of the Week.
All right, so once again, we're going to do it in tiers, and I'll let you know when to get to the next tier, Bri, so that we can play the next meal. But tier one is Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles, Adrian Peterson, Eddie Lacy, Marshawn Lynch, Arian Foster, C.J. Anderson, DeMarco Murray, Matt Forte, and Jeremy Hill. I guess, you know, and I know you have some comments, but some of this stuff, I think, Evan, is self-explanatory. I just, when something jumps out to me, that's when I'll hit you up on it. I guess the two that jumped out to me here were C.J. Anderson and DeMarco Murray. Murray coming off all those touches a year ago and me thinking that the Eagles really want to give Ryan Matthews a bunch of carries and touches as well. And then you've got C.J. Anderson. That's a high level of confidence that you have that Anderson's going to essentially pick up, I guess, where he left off last year and be the bell cow for them.
Yeah, to me, this tier, these guys are all pretty much all worthy of first-round picks. Toward the end, Matt Forte and Jeremy Hill are usually not first-round picks. Forte is sometimes. Hill usually is not. And I think that all of these guys have a legitimate chance to finish as the number one overall running back. I think a lot of backs in this tier have – you can make a case for them to be the number one overall fantasy pick. DeMarco Murray, there are concerns about him. I understand last year's workload. Last year's carries actually don't, you know, percentage-wise, don't have any effect on whether or not he's going to get injured this year. Actually, his workload is going to go down this year, which reduces his risk of injury. What I really like about DeMarco Murray is his touchdown potential. I think that if Vegas were to set odds on which running backs were going to lead the NFL in rushing TDs this year, DeMarco Murray would be in the top three, at worst top five, with, you know, Eddie Lacy and Adrian Peterson. So, and Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, that's my thinking behind DeMarco Murray. C.J. Anderson was, you know, I believe in him as a running back. I mean, he's an excellent pass protector. He's an excellent pass catcher. He's going to benefit from being in a Peyton Manning offense and a Gary Kubiak running offense. Gary Kubiak has long had, you know, top shelf running games, whether it was in Houston or Baltimore or, you know, early in his coaching career in Denver. CJ Anderson is a power back, a three down back, and, you know, again, KC Joyner of ESPN, the football scientist, believes CJ Anderson should be the 1.01 pick, you know, the first pick overall in fantasy leagues, and he's a pretty smart guy as well. So, you know, CJ Anderson is toward the end of the first round for me, but I'm, you know, I definitely think he belongs in this first tier.
So the Broncos running back situation was so weird last year, how it seemed like every time they put in the next guy, he was clearly better than the guy before. I'll be curious to see what happens there with Anderson and even, you know, Monte Ball and Ronnie Hillman. You know, Monte Ball, they ran at Wisconsin was a lot of the zone stuff. Now it was more, you know, inside zone than the outside zone stuff, but it's a little bit of a different scheme than what they employed with John Fox. So I'm kind of curious to see who takes to that the most. Let's go to tier two, Bri.
Next meal.
Tier two, you've got LeSean McCoy, Justin Forsett, Frank Gore, Mark Ingram, Melvin Gordon, CJ Spiller, and Lamar Miller. And I guess the two that jump out to me are probably the first two you have on the list, McCoy and Forsett. You know, with LeSean McCoy and having Rex Ryan as his coach and being up in Buffalo and what they paid him, I'm a little surprised to see him in tier two. And then Justin Forsett, you know, knowing what he did last year and how Tressman used Matt Forte, that's a little bit surprising to me. So what is preventing LeSean McCoy and Forsett from being in tier one? I think you did a good job explaining why you feel the way you do about Anderson and Murray. But essentially, what's the difference in your mind between like those two guys and LeSean McCoy and Forsett? Because the rest of the guys, I can kind of see the logic behind tier two. McCoy and Forsett, I'm surprised they don't fit into your tier one.
Okay, that's fair. Well, first of all, these running backs are guys who, if they stay healthy, will probably finish in the top 12 amongst fantasy running backs. LeSean McCoy, I think, is, well, you know, why he's not in C.J. Anderson and DeMarco Murray's level is because of his offense, number one. We don't even know who the Bills quarterback is going to be. It could be Tyrod Taylor. That actually might be their best case scenario at this point, is Tyrod Taylor, if Matt Castle is done like he looked at OTAs and minicamp. LeSean McCoy, his receiving usage is not going to rebound under Greg Roman, who, you know, rarely throws the football to his running backs. Actually, Bruce Miller got the majority of targets in the 49ers backfield the last couple seasons, which is a shame because Frank Gore early in his career was one of the best pass catching RBs in the NFL. And it seemed to me like a part of their scheme that they were unwilling to throw to the running back for, you know, 4 years there, whether it was Alex Smith at quarterback or Colin Kaepernick or what have you. So I don't think that LeSean McCoy's receiving usage is going to rebound. His offense looks like it will be mediocre at best, limiting his touchdown opportunities. Also factor in that the offense run by Greg Roman runs very few offensive plays. Over the past 4 years in San Francisco, they were always finishing toward the bottom in offensive plays run. LeSean McCoy last year, of course, was in Philadelphia, where the number of plays was number one in the NFL. So LeSean McCoy is really, really downgrading in situation. I think he's going to have fewer carries than people anticipate, and I don't think his receptions will rebound. Last year he only had 28, and I don't think he's going to score many TDs. So I'm kind of down on LeSean McCoy for this year. Justin Forsett, sort of an age concern. He also lost Gary Kubiak. They drafted Buck Allen in the fourth round. They bring back Zoe Taliaferro. You know, I like Justin Forsett's chances of catching a lot of passes in a Mark Trestman offense. However, I'm also wary that, you know, there's some bust risk here. You know, this is a guy who bounced around the NFL for a long time before all of a sudden having a breakout season, and he's kind of old. And so that gives me a little bit of pause. But at the same time, you know, where he usually goes in drafts, which is early third round, I think he's a fine value there, right at that second, third round turn. So those are my explanations for LeSean McCoy, Justin Forsett, rest of this tier, guys who I think will probably finish top 12 if they stay healthy, Frank Gore, Mark Ingram, Melvin Gordon, C.J. Spiller, and Lamar Miller.
So the other thing that jumps out to me is that you have both Ingram and Spiller, the two Saints running backs here in tier two. And I know that, you know, we've had this conversation. Look, we talked about it, about Drew Brees last week. You know, we've had the conversation. I know that you think the Saints are changing who they are and what they're going to do. I don't know that they're changing it enough that both Ingram and Spiller are tier two guys. And I think that you – so in my experience, Evan, it's one thing for a coordinator to say they're going to do it. And I know Linehan did it last year, and I give him credit for that. But I guess I'll believe that Peyton is going to run a lot more and throw less when I see it.
Okay. I mean, you know, all the moves that they made in the offseason don't suggest to you that they're going to run the football more. They use a first round pick on an offensive tackle. They traded their big time pass catching tight end for a center. You know, they invested heavily into two running backs, Mark Ingram and C.J. Spiller, essentially gave them the same contract. Actually, C.J. Spiller's contract is a little bigger than Mark Ingram's. They showed a little bit of concern about their quarterback. They used a third-round pick on a quarterback. So I think that they do want to bring down their pass attempts considerably. I don't know if they're going to turn into the Seahawks or the Cowboys, but I think that they will run the ball a lot more. For me, Mark Ingram is an excellent RB2 pick. In standard leagues, those are a little bit more touchdown heavy. I think he has a chance to score 10-plus TDs this year. C.J. Spiller, to me, in a PPR league, is an excellent RB2 who could finish as a top 10 guy. The Saints annually finish toward the top of the league in passing game targets to running backs. Last year, they were number one. Travaris Cadet and Pierre Thomas combined for 83 receptions. C.J. Spiller, I happen to believe, is a little bit better than Travaris Cadet and Pierre Thomas. So I think that C.J. Spiller could really rip it up in PPR leagues, and that's why he's in this tier.
Tier three, Bri.
Next meal.
Jonathan Stewart, Alfred Morris, Carlos Hyde, and T.J. Yeldon. Boy, this one is a really interesting tier. There's only four guys in it, and it just feels like you're all over the map with different kinds of guys. Yeldon's a rookie. Morris has been very productive. Stewart always looks awesome when he actually plays. And Hyde is presumably going to carry a huge load now that Gore is gone.
Yep. And these are guys who should finish top 12 if they stay healthy, but they have bigger warts than the second tier. Like Jonathan Stewart's durability is a major concern. It has been a concern since he came out of Oregon, but he's really good. And we saw that in the second half of last year. And anytime that he's suiting up for a game, especially with D'Angelo Williams out of the picture there, you know, he's going to be a top 12 running back start. Alfred Morris, we know that he's a really, really solid back, probably better than solid. You know, one of the best tackle-breaking RBs in the NFL. But he's a zero in the passing game. And, you know, that significantly decreases his value in PPR leagues. And it also makes him a week-to-week, you know, kind of a tough guy to predict, because if the Redskins fall behind on the scoreboard, it's going to be another RB in there getting snaps and not Alfred Morris. Carlos Hyde could be in a similar situation in San Francisco, losing those passing down snaps to Reggie Bush or Kendall Hunter. I think it'll be Reggie Bush. But, you know, these are guys in Alfred Morris and Carlos Hyde who are on teams that aren't projected to do particularly well. The Redskins' Vegas win total, I think, is 6.5 games, and the 49ers is as well. So, you know, because these teams are not projected to do particularly well, these guys could be disappointing in fantasy because they're going to lose passing down snaps to other RBs when those teams are trying to come from behind. TJ Yeldon, I think, will be a legitimate three down back as a rookie, but, you know, I got kind of burned by liking Toby Gerhart last year. This is a team, you know, in the Jaguars, who have the lowest Vegas win total in the NFL at 5.5 games. You know, I mean, I love TJ Yeldon, but this could be a rough fantasy situation. I mean, what is the upside for TJ Yeldon in terms of touchdowns? You know, like 6 or 7 TDs, and you want your RBs to score touchdowns. So as much as I like TJ Yeldon, he is a guy who could be very frustrating in fantasy until the Jaguars get better.
Before we get into tier four, I got to tell you about DraftKings, because baseball is in full swing and you can be part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. You guys know the deal by now. If you don't, you should. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, instant cash, instant gratification. It makes, in my opinion, baseball a lot more fun. A lot of you already like it. 2 pitchers, 8 position players, and pick up your cash. Boom, done. Hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans, just like you, have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Plus, believe it or not, we're only a few weeks away from preseason DFS starting. So the new contests start daily. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now and use our promo code FEAST to play for free in today's $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. DraftKings.com, official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Next tier, Bright.
Next meal.
Tier four, another somewhat eclectic group. Amir Abdullah, Todd Gurley, Andre Ellington, Latavius Murray. So you've got 2 rookies and 2 young veterans that people are, I don't know, kind of all over the board about in terms of Ellington and Murray.
Yeah, these guys are all, I think, have the upside to be strong RB2s, maybe even RB, you know, and turn in some RB1 games. But they all have pretty significant concerns. Like Amir Abdullah, you know, as much as I love him, you know, you also have to acknowledge that Joey Bell is still there. Who knows about his health, but he's still on the roster. Theo Riddick is very useful in the passing game. Amir Abdullah, you know, for as much as I love him as a runner and as a talent, he did have issues with fumbling at Nebraska, and his pass protection needs work. So I think he could potentially be a league-winning type fantasy running back, but he could also be a guy who doesn't score many TDs if Joey Bell, you know, suddenly comes back and is fine, and you know, maybe doesn't catch a ton of passes either with Theo Riddick there. Todd Gurley, of course, is coming off the ACL tear at Georgia, and even before that, you know, the year before that, he missed a bunch of time with a torn hip flexor and a high ankle sprain. So Todd Gurley has a fairly concerning, you know, another tremendous talent, much better than Amir Abdullah, actually. But, you know, some fairly significant concerns. Also, in what projects to be one of the NFL's worst offenses, behind probably the NFL's worst offensive line. The Rams are going to start two rookies on the right side in Jamon Brown and Rob Havenstein. And they're bringing back Tim Barnes, who's a practice squad type player, to start at center. Andre Ellington, not going to be a TD scorer and could very well lose a lot of work to David Johnson out of Northern Iowa, the third round pick. Latavius Murray, probably going to lose passing down work to Roy Helu, and again, on a bad team in Oakland. So, I like the upside of these guys, but there are also significant concerns that you have to consider.
Tier five, Bri.
Next meal.
Rashad Jennings, Tevin Coleman, LeGarrette Blount, Joseph Randall, Chris Ivory, Joik Bell, Shane Vereen, Doug Martin, Giovanni Bernard. Having Vereen and Jennings in the same tier tells me all I need to know, I guess, about how you feel there. I guess Joseph Randall, to me, is interesting in tier five. So, mm-hmm. For him to be in tier five, you just must not be buying it, because otherwise he'd be higher. You just must not be buying him.
Yeah, this tier is made up of, lower end NFL starters like Chris Ivory, Joik Bell, and like you mentioned, the Giants running backs, Tevin Coleman, who really is a guy who could explode if everything kind of breaks right for him, and LeGarrette Blount, who I think is an underrated second running back. Giovanni Bernard is, a passing down back that the Bengals will probably be used inconsistently on a week to week basis. But Joseph Randall, yeah, I'm not buying into him, Ross. And, I didn't like him coming out of Oklahoma State. I thought he was a guy who was probably going to get cut after his first NFL season. I mean, that's how bad he looked. Last year, I understand that in a 51-carry sample size, Joseph Randall looked pretty good. And the last time that I fell for a guy in a very small sample size was Daryl Richardson. You remember him on the Rams
entering
the 2013 season? Yeah. He had some explosiveness. He had some burst to him. Actually, if you look at him from a measurable standpoint, was probably superior to Joseph Randall. But he wasn't cut out to be a lead NFL running back. And I don't really know of any evidence that suggests that Joseph Randall is cut out to be a lead NFL running back either. His situation is very, very tempting. And I think that will, because of the offensive line, and I think that will result in Joseph Randall being drafted very, very high, by August. But I don't think that Ray Rice's chances of being Dallas's lead back by week four are significantly worse than Joseph Randall's. I think they're going to go get another guy, and people that are investing into Joseph Randall and Darren McFadden are going to be disappointed.
Wow. And, some people point to the fact that he has the highest yards per carry of any guy that got at least 50 carries last year. Randall is going to be absolutely fascinating, as are some of the guys you have in tier six, Bri.
Next meal.
Duke Johnson, Isaiah Crowell. So you start with a couple Browns. The aforementioned Ryan Matthews, Trey Mason, David Johnson, Reggie Bush, Bishop Sankey, Devontae Freeman. It feels like now we are firmly entrenched in the category of that there's no longer any guys that we know are going to be the bell cows for their team.
Exactly. And all these guys are interesting for different reasons. I'm really interested in Ryan Matthews. I don't think that DeMarco Murray, just because of last year's workload, is at any greater injury risk than another RB. But, I also acknowledge that before last season, he was a guy who was getting hurt every year, and he was hurt a lot in college. Ryan Matthews has an injury history of his own, but he's a guy who you can get in the ninth round. And if DeMarco Murray misses four games, you have a legit bell cow in the Eagles offense for those four games, and Ryan Matthews probably very easily pays off that ninth round cost. Duke Johnson is a guy who has excellent pass catching ability, plays in on a team where they are going to have to run the ball, but they also have one of the league's better offensive lines. So the guy who wins that job, whether it's Duke Johnson, whether it's Isaiah Crowell, I tend to believe it won't be Terrence West, but whoever wins that job and, you know, is the lead back in a given week is going to have a good shot of success behind, you know, to me that's, you know, with Alex Mack back and Cameron Irving added at right guard, you know, that Browns line is a top three group on paper. Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell are both in this tier. I think that Trey Mason is interesting because of Gurley's injuries. David Johnson, you know, it was not a guy that I loved before the draft, but he's essentially a bigger, faster version of Andre Ellington, who averaged 3.3 yards a carry last year. If you want to bet against Andre Ellington, and I think that it's not a bad bet at all to bet against Andre Ellington, go with David Johnson, whose ADP is 9th, 10th, 11th round. He's really cheap. Reggie Bush, we talked about Carlos Hyde earlier. Reggie Bush could end up with more playing time than most people anticipate. Bishop Sankey and Devonta Freeman are guys that I don't necessarily believe in, you know, from a running talent standpoint, but they also appear to have a decent amount of opportunity, so they're worth looks.
Tier 7, Bri.
Next meal.
How many tiers are there? 8 tiers. All right, we got 2 more to go. Tier 7, Roy Helu, Danny Woodhead, Niall Davis, Darren McFadden. And Roy Helu and McFadden are actually the ones that jump out to me here. I think I know what Woodhead is. I have an idea what Niall Davis is. But McFadden and Helu are two guys that people have differing opinions on. You think the former Raider and the current Raider both belong in Tier 7?
Yeah, and I probably should move up Roy Helu and Danny Woodhead because I think that they're going to be at least locked into some usage. And I think that they're both going to be very effective in their roles. And Roy Helu really, really should get a chance to win the starting job in Oakland, I think. You know, I really like Latavius Murray, the idea of Latavius Murray, but he is so unproven. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't just make that an open competition. But I think that Roy Helu will definitely get usage. I think that Danny Woodhead will absolutely get usage. You know, the passing game is kind of the weakness of Melvin Gordon coming out of Wisconsin. Niall Davis is a guy who just could blow up if Jamaal Charles gets injured. And Darren McFadden is a guy who, you know, with everybody obsessed with Joseph Randle right now, Joseph Randle goes like third, fourth round. Darren McFadden often lasts until the 12th or 13th round. So, again, if you want to bet against Joseph Randle, it doesn't cost you very much to do so by drafting Darren McFadden, who the Cowboys say will be part of their committee anyway.
Tier 8, Bri.
Next meal.
All right, so this is Charles Sims, Jerick McKinnon, Monte Ball, Buck Allen, Darren Sproles, D'Angelo Williams, David Cobb, Lance Dunbar. I don't want to go through individually all these guys. We know these are guys that will come a little bit later in drafts, but I am curious if there's one guy in Tier 8 that you think has the upside to, I don't know, maybe do what Forsett did last year. Who would it be out of this tier?
That's a good question. I'm going to throw it to you first.
I might go David Cobb. I might go David Cobb because I'm not a believer in Bishop Sankey. And I think that because of Mariota's running skills, that might open some things up for the running back. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the Titans are smitten with Sankey either. And I wouldn't be surprised if they want Cobb to just hit it up in there on some of the zone read stuff when they incorporate that. And Cobb might end up having a really good, surprising year. I think Cobb, I mean, Charles Sims, I think you can make an argument for as well. But other than Charles Sims, because, look, he could beat out Doug Martin, we'll see, blah, blah, blah. I think I'd go David Cobb.
Yeah, and a lot of people are into David Cobb in fantasy, for sure. I would probably go with Jerick McKinnon because there's going to be a baseline for him to play. The Vikings have made that very clear that they're going to monitor Adrian Peterson's snap count. They're not going to monitor Peterson's touches. Like, Peterson could get a million touches this year. But, you know, they are going to monitor his snap count because they want to get McKinnon involved some. And then, you know, if you look at it from the perspective that Adrian Peterson, although I think he's very deserving of a top five fantasy pick, he's also a 30-year-old running back who hasn't played since week one of last year. You know, when you're away from the game and you're not taking those hits, how does your body respond, you know, when you suddenly return? So I think that, you know, there's definitely some risk there with Adrian Peterson. And I think Jerick McKinnon, a guy who averaged almost 5 yards a carry as a rookie and really picked up the game quickly, considering he was a quarterback at a small college coming out. I'm very impressed with Jerick McKinnon, and I think his upside is really, really high. Great late pick in my mind. Whether or not you have Adrian Peterson on your roster, I think McKinnon will get some usage. And if he catches a break like Adrian Peterson gets hurt, I think Jerick McKinnon is a potential league winner in fantasy.
Well, I don't have any care or belief in your upside because you're already a stud. There is no upside. You're already – that was fantastic 2 weeks in a row. I'm already looking forward to next Monday again when we break down the next position group, Evan's Tears. This should be its own. We need a new sounder called Evan's Tears. And it's, we're not talking about crying like when I punched him in the shoulder at Uncle Julio's. This is a different level of Evan's Tears. That'll do it for an unbelievable Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. If you guys aren't spreading the word about this bad boy, I know why you don't spread the word. Because you want to win your league. You don't want your buddies. Okay, well then tell guys that aren't in your league. All right? Do it via social media, people in work or whatever. Tell people that aren't in your league. I get it. But they need to be hearing about Evan's Tears, both of Evan's Tears, when I punch him in the shoulder and how he ranks different positions. Really can't wait to see who the next two people are that get in the Fantasy Feast Redraft League. You know the deal. Spread the word on social media. Make sure you're on the email list. And you've got to subscribe, whether it's iTunes or RossTucker.com or PodcastOne.com, to the new College Draft podcast. I cannot wait. It's worth it. Just when you see the logo, just when you see the daddy soda on the logo, get it? The College Draft podcast. It's unbelievable. Stick a fork in us. We're done here.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth. Now, if you don't know who I am, I've been a broadcaster for ESPN for the last 15 years. Before that, my former life, I was a football player. 12 years, multiple Pro Bowls, 3 world championship rings, and 29 different surgeries. And I want to invite you to listen to my brand new podcast where we focus on the NFL through my eyes. All opinions are mine, and all of my opinions should be adopted by you immediately so you sound smart in front of your buddies. It's the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. You can get it at iTunes, or you can go to my homepage at podcastone.com.